and you serve amazing Lord. May it be so. What a song. I've never heard that song. That's beautiful. And I don't feel like talking about anger after that, but I guess I will try to continue on the series and try to get some headway. I like to try to get to the last two or three points here and five descriptions of the scripture pertaining to anger danger, and anger certainly is a danger to our lives. First, I shared with you, of course, and we went into detail last time, as a city without walls, in Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And walls are important. They are protective mechanisms for us all. And the second that I shared is that anger is likened unto an unbearable load, something people say, I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. That's why vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You cannot handle, I cannot handle living with anger. That's why we ought to put it away. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And a third, where we'll pick up here tonight, is anger is like a flood. It's like a deluge. And Proverbs 27, if you would flip over there, we have a couple of things here to share, primarily from that verse and then others as well. Proverbs 27, verse 4 says, wrath is cruel, and anger, here's our word, is outrageous. It's outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Now, outrageous means a deluge. It's an flooding. It's a flood. It's outrageous. It's something way beyond that which is normal and way beyond that which is healthy. Way beyond is the idea. So a deluge or a flood is made up first and foremost of a river. Okay, you got a river and it's normally, it flows and it stays within its bounds. That's normal. That's normal. That's healthy. That's good. This is an outrageous amount of water trying to come down that same channel. And it's just not going to be contained within the walls, the banks of the river. The banks of the river are not meant to handle. Am I hearing music? Okay, somewhere. I thought of, you know, I'm hearing the angels, the harps of angels. You know? So, it's just the banks are not meant to contain that much water. Now, in the Trinity Bottom through Dallas, we have, what do they call it? They don't call them dams, but they're not the spillway, but the sides, the big sides, the berms, the big berms that are there, they're meant for certain amounts of water. But we've had such floods come through Dallas that they're concerned, 100-year floods, that, man, if water goes over that those elevations on both sides, it will be major disaster in the entire city, downtown of Dallas. If you've been to the Mississippi River, there's a great amount of effort. Of course, that's a very large river, contains a lot of water that's flowing down through there, and it can take a lot more water, but it can only take so much. And then if it overwhelms that level in the building of the engineers, they call it the Corps of Engineers, if it overwhelms that, you've got now a deluge. And there's no amount of sandbags are going to take and be able to keep that back. It just will absolutely wash out. And that's the idea behind anger is outrageous. Anger is a flood. It is a deluge. It's sort of like, okay, you say, can I have a drink of water? And somebody throws a 5-gallon bucket of water in your face. You see, that's a deluge. It's outrageous. It's way beyond that which is normal. If you say, give me a drink of water, can I have a drink of water, please? Somebody gives you a sippy cup, or they give you a cup, you know, a big gulp or whatever, but they don't throw a 5-gallon bucket of water in your face. Now, can you drink from that? Yes, but you might be so shocked by the overwhelming sense of having all of that water. That's outrageous that you would give me a drink of water that way. That's the idea behind anger. It's outrageous. It's a flood. It's a deluge. Now, Proverbs 29:11 says, the fool uttereth all his mind. The fool uttereth all his mind. Now, what's in his mind? Well, there's the things in there that may be proper to share, maybe not. And then there are things with the fool, there's a lot of things in his mind that are not proper to share at all. And so here you have a fool uttereth He pours out, he dumps out, he deluges out, he floods out everything that is in his mind. Now, it's bad enough for us to give everything in our own mind, even if we're in our right mind. The scripture would say maybe that some of that needs to be contained too. I used to think just because something's true, it needed to be shared. Then I learned, no. Wisdom would teach you just because something's true doesn't mean it needs to be shared right now. Timing can be critical. The occasion can be critical. But a fool uttereth all his might. And when he opens his mouth, everything dumps out. And I mean, it's a dump load. You know what I mean? It's a dump load because we're talking about a fool. A fool doesn't have a lot of good things in their mind in the first place. And so when they open their mouth, Katie, bar the door, it's coming. And you're going to get a lot more than you find that's helpful, needed, or desired. That's what the idea is. A fool uttereth all his mind. He creates a flood by his words. He creates a flood by his actions. Creates a flood in your heart by his conduct. And you're just, what was that? In the office place, if you've ever experienced that, what was that? Well, it was the deluge. Where did it come from? Anger. Psalm 18:4, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. What happens when you see these mobs of people? And they're protesters. They're a mob. Many of these, they're not protesters. A protest should be a peaceful protest. That's a mob. When they have all of this anger and they're cursing at people and throwing things and buying fireworks and they're trying to find ways that they can injure police officers and the law enforcement without being charged seriously, so they want to just take it right up to a level. But they're a mob, and that's a mob. That's a mob. And mobs are already mad. They're already mad. They don't have to go mad, they're already mad. They left the house mad. They've been in mama's basement for 5 months mad. They're mad. They're mad people. And they've gone mad. And here, the floods of ungodly men, the floods, pouring out, the pouring out of ungodly men. You let that happen, that's not a place you want to be. Now, safest thing I can tell you, even if you're armed, the safest place you can be is just not be there. Just use your brain. Don't say, okay, there's going to be this angry mob downtown, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to quote scripture in front of them all. It's probably not the time and place. You pray for the duly elected or sworn in law enforcement. Let them do their job, and you pray for them. But just don't go there. That's the best thing you can do because they're already angry. They're already angry people. Now, those law enforcement, they've been trained to deal with angry people, and they're still human, so that's why we ought to pray for them. But it is a total deluge, a flood of ungodly men. And when that happens, you better be afraid, and you will be afraid, because they are uncorked. They're not going to be reasonable. They're not going to fight fair. You know, somebody comes up and they just throw some fluid in your face. You have no idea what that is. No idea what that is. That's one of the reasons, by the way, just as a measure of prevention, that when we go out to the life chain, I always strive to stand at the front of the line where traffic's coming from. Because people who are angry, it normally comes out in a deluge. That's where you're going to find it. Floods of ungodly men. They made me afraid. The man's not a coward. He's realistic. Hey, this is a dangerous place to be. There are certain places in Dallas you don't want to be there at certain times of the day. You just don't want to be there. And you say, well, you know, it's racist. You call it whatever you want. Blow it out your ear. You just don't want to be there. And it's dangerous for you to be there. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Psalm 69:1. Save me, O God, from the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. In other words, I can't get a footing. I just keep going down. It's like quicksand. I come into deep water where the floods overflow me. I can't survive this. I'm totally overcome. And that's the idea. Anger is that which will overcome. It will just so flush you out, wash you out, overwhelm you. It's impossible to survive in that circumstance. And that's why you get afraid. So floods destroy and they wash everything away. course, I knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall the cunning of the Son of Man be. But that's God's wrath and anger. Again, Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. It's a deluge. It's overwhelming. It's just way beyond which is normal or proper or healthy. Who is able to stand before envy? Now notice it does not say angry anger is outrageous. It doesn't say that at all. That's why you just take issue. You know, I've read all those books. And I wish I could have saved a lot of my time, because I spent a lot of time on this study. And every single author, to the Jackman, every single one of them always had a chapter. And I just started looking for the chapter, because I could gather what they're going to say about the whole subject matter of anger, biblical anger, by how they dealt with the idea of righteous indignation. I could tell you what they're going to write before they would write it. And pretty much you read one, you read the others. But I was trying to be honest. You know, if I was going to critique Mrs. Clinton's book on It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, I wanted to read the book. All right, somebody said, don't waste your time. Well, if I'm going to critique it publicly, I'd like to read the book, see what she says. It's outrageous. Human anger is outrageous. It's always far more than is reasonable. Always. Far more than is reasonable. And so it creates a flood of destruction. Water is good. Good rain is good. You just planted, Brother Daniel just planted a lot of stuff out at his house. Actually, Mr. Candy did. He did nothing, just watched her and took pictures. That's not true. Rain is good. A flood is bad. It's bad. It is too much of something, and that something is water. It's destructive. You plant a garden and you pray for rain. You want to get some rain. Rain's always better than the water hose. It's always better than well or shitty water. It's always better. It makes everything grow better. And so you're praying for a rain. But you don't want a flood, right? You don't want a flood. It's going to wash out your seeds. It's going to destroy everything that you've done. It's too much. Too much. There's the idea. It's too much. It's too much. Who has the wisdom to know how much under every circumstance to give? Only God, you see? Only God. To deal with the extreme things, only God can have the wisdom and does have the wisdom to control those elements 100 degrees, 100% of the time. We may get it right once, but what about all the rest of the time? What about all the rest? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, when we get angry, we have too much of something. And that something is heat. It's heat. Too much zeal's good. Too much heat is bad. It's an overheating of our inner person. It's an overheating of our spirit. Now, let me give you a case in point that demonstrates this. When two people are, let's say, starting an argument, and they start off the argument, they say, every time. Well, one, you're probably factually wrong. Right from the get-go, you're factually wrong, and you're demonstrating you've got anger problems. It's not time to pray, okay? You heads up. We got anger problems. Why? Because you're exaggerating already. You're stating untruths to try to make your point. You're throwing a big bucket of water right in their face. I'll get my point across. What you're getting across to a discerning individual is you are an angry soul. Every time, you always, you're factually wrong. I would bet my job you're factually wrong when you go to those extreme language illustrations, exaggerations. You always do this. Oh, really? All the time. Every time you make apple pie, you burn it. Every time you make apple pie. And if you're the old Jews in that old way, you could divorce her because she burnt your apple pie, you know. That's why the Lord had to step in and set some things in order. Extreme language. You always, it's always like this, it's always going to be like this. Well, you don't know that either, do you? You don't know that. All you're doing is you're throwing out, you're overheating and demonstrating that you're out of control. Because you're stating things that are simply not factually true. Now, I started to get in some examples of politicians doing this. But I was in a deluge already. I mean, they do it for a living. And both sides. Both sides do it. Now, I learned this a little bit from someone who's back with us in church, and that's Richard Taylor. And he's going to say, what? You called my name? Yeah. And because I knew that he was a hot rodder, he knows a lot about cars and engines. And so years ago, I had an idea of how to illustrate proper heating, but is good. Overheating is bad. And so I thought about, you know, my dad was a mechanic, so had light bulb come on. Maybe that would work. So let me go talk to somebody about this. And he's the man I went and actually talked to. Most new cars run best at a temperature ranging from 180 to 200 degrees. Now, that's warmer by far than the atmosphere heat already that most, even in a Texas summer day. That's warmer than that. They do not run best at 40 degrees. Certainly not at 40 below. Nor do they run best at 100 degrees. They're still not going to run well. This is why they put into our motors a thermostat. A thermostat. That is the regulator. Okay, think about that's the regulator. That is the point of discipline in our life. And they put that in the motors to give them the proper heat. The proper heat for maximum power and efficiency and safety long term for that motor to run. That's the reason it's there. That's the reason it's there. God wants to control and give us the right thermostats. See? Now, if a car runs, though, at 250 degrees, that's 50 degrees beyond that which is healthy and normal. And it does so for a period of time. It is in danger of blowing a water hose, all right, overheating, blowing a water hose, or a head gasket. You can blow the head gasket out. And you'll know it when it happens. And it's going to cost you a lot of money to repair the damage that's caused by the overheating of your motor. Or perhaps even you've run the motor, now you're going to have to replace it. The bearings, everything, they're shot, they're gone. You just bought you a $25,000 motor. That's one of the reasons why they call overheating, getting angry, is blowing a gasket. That's where the phrase comes from. They blew a gasket. They lost their temper, right? They lost it. No, they knew exactly where it was, and they went and got it and shoved it down everybody else's throat. Now, but that's not the only anger that can cause problems. Say, think about this. Say a brand new car runs for 2 years, at just an elevated temperature, not enough to blow the gaskets and all out, but an elevated temperature, let's just say 240 degrees. I know some of you car guys, you're thinking about this. That car will not last near as long as you were hoping that it would last. Because it's not enough to blow the gasket, but it's causing unusual wear and tear. Andrew's not, he's a mechanic. He's not, it's going to cause unusual wear and tear on your motor. And you can start losing oil. You can start losing oil pressure. A water pump and other things start to leak. In fact, it's breaking down. And it's just as sure going to break down. It's just going to take longer for it to happen. You with me? It's going to take longer for it to happen. And somebody thinks that I have success and I have control of my temper if I'm not blowing a gasket. Well, that's not the only way you can run your motor. You can run the motor by just being elevated beyond what you should be, right? And for a longer period of time, and you keep that and you foster that, you pet it, you rub it, you say, oh, how I like you, and I bring you out when I really want to let some. See? And you think, it's not going to hurt me. Don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. If you're looking for long-term success in life or business, especially, don't bet on it. Because 2 years passes at no time at all. Anger is an overheating of our spirit. And that overheating, be it blowing the gasket out or just too much heat, is going to undermine your healthy spiritual and physical lives. It's going to undermine you. And it's going to bring damage. And it's like riding bulls. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. And by the way, in marriage, you should be considered in all this. You know, one, hey, your marriage is likely to end fast and quick, or your marriage is still likely to end, but now you have one or two babies later. I told one time, you know what's worse than not having a husband, having a baby, not having another husband and having two babies, and happened to be pregnant at the time. Nobody knew. The destruction still comes. Destruction still comes. Now, a ministry, a marriage, occupation, relationship can be destroyed in 10 minutes or 2 years or 10 years with overheating. What does Satan really care about how fast? He's just looking for the end game. He just wants to take us down. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's figured out, I can't get him to that level that, man, he's just going to blow up, man. He's going to blow up and that's the end of him. I'm done, moving on. What's it to him? I got a strategy. Just keep feeding that. Keep feeding that. He'll go down. He's mine. He's mine. So an elevated heat is fine for getting the highest performance and the proper protection of the motor of our life. It's warming up. It's passion. It's good. Passion is good. Courage. It's good. That's fine. Getting hot. Not good. Not good. So let me offer you this. Intensity, yes. Indignation, no. Intensity. Now, law enforcement, for them to do their job, they have to be intense. If they don't offer their commands with some intensity behind it, nobody's going to respond. And they're trained how to do that. But they've got to come across forceful because there are too many idiots out there, number one. And number two, even good people need to know, we mean it. We mean it. We mean it. Get out of the road. Get out of the road. Now, you say, well, you're just angry. No, no. You're assuming they're angry. They just know they have to command that environment. And they know the best way to get everybody out of the road as quickly as humanly possible, but safely, is they have to be a little bit more intense in their voice, not in their spirit, but in their voice, to get the point across. So high-spirited, good, yes. High-spirited, good, good. Harsh, no. Judicious, there's a good word. Judgmental, no. Emphatic, yes. Enraged, no. Watchful, yes. Wrathful, no. Determined, yes. Destructive, no. And it needs to be one of those, not no maybe, but it needs to be no. If we're commanded by God's word to put it away, it has to be in our mind, in our understanding, in our spiritual pursuits. That's a big no. No. And parents, I encourage you, deal with it with the kids and deal with it when they're very young. No means no. We don't go there. We don't do that. That doesn't mean we never do, but you're setting a standard. No means no. This will hurt the baby, right? This will hurt the baby. Now, number four, wrath in the Bible is talked about as a poisonous snake or a poisonous viper. Back to our verse in Proverbs 27, wrath is cruel. It's cruel. Now, the form of the word cruel is used for the word a cruel venom of asp, poisonous snake. It's cruel. You ever seen anybody bitten by a poisonous snake? It's not pretty. It's not, oh, I've been bit by a snake, I better get to the hospital. Don't count on that. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. heat, fever-causing venom that will take the very life out of you. And it's not pretty. That's why you need to take care to reduce the spread of the poison and get to the hospital as soon as you can. Don't try to cut it and suck it out. Okay, that's only for the movies. And by the way, they used to advocate for that years ago, but don't mess with it. Restrict the poison upstream, downstream. Restrict it, not to a tourniquet level, but restrict. You're not trying to cut off circulation. You're trying to restrict and get yourself or them to the hospital. It's cruel. As King Saul was trying to strike King David. Go over there, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let me show you this. There's so much with all of this. You know, I could teach through this for a year. And, you know, it's because of the study. I mean, you study that much, you study anything, you could teach it for a year. I don't intend to. Andrea's happy about that. You know, she gives me enough grief when I talk about Peter. Every time I preach from Peter, she's like, here we go again. She loves me and I love her too. 1 Samuel chapter 18, look at verse 10. We're talking about Saul, what's going on in his spirit and what's going on in his hands. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times. So he's playing musical instruments. He's trying to bring a calm. And there was a javelin in Saul's hands. Now he's in the court. He's in his place. Why in the world does he need a weapon in his hand? Huh? Well, what is that like? What's going on? Now, I thought about, well, how could I relate to that? Okay, here's the king. And the king has a javelin in his hand. Not what you would normally find in a king's hand. To me, it's more like the mob boss who can't walk around anywhere. Even in his bathrobe, he's carrying a .45, playing with it, fingering it, always sweeping across people, intimidation. Why does Saul have a javelin in his hand? Why indeed? Because he just might fire off and throw it at somebody. What's going on? It's a demonstration. If you were around a mob boss and somebody that you just knew, man, they're not all together, you know. They'll kill you. And what are they playing with? What are they holding in their hand? Just like it's some little toy or something. It's not a toy. That thing's a weapon. Right? It's a weapon. It's a deadly weapon. And they're just playing with it just like it's nothing, you know. That's dangerous. It's dangerous. The king had a javelin, a spear, playing with it in his hand. Huh. That's already insightful. That's already insightful. You walk into an environment like that. You go and you interview, let's say, a CEO, and he has a spear in his hand. You probably want to turn around and walk out. Don't take that job. You don't want to be a part of that. I promise you don't want to be a part of that. And Saul cast the javelin. For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. Do you see the extreme idea of that? Not that, okay, this man needs to be executed according to the law of God. None of that tempered zeal, but not destruction. Bad attitude. He says, I'm going to smite him. I'm going to pin him to the wall with my javelin. To my wall. I'm going to pin him to the wall. I'm going to nail his eye. I'm going to kill him right here. Just in a gruesome fashion. I'm not going to, it's time for an execution of a criminal. I just don't like being threatened and I feel threatened. Did David threaten? No, David did not at all. Not at all. Didn't deserve that at all. Didn't deserve that environment at all. But Saul was an angry person. And he demonstrated it by playing with a .45. Why's he got a javelin? He's got guards all around him. He doesn't need that. All right? If I come to church, if I'm not feeling well as has been of late, I'm probably not armed. Okay? And that you say, well, we probably shouldn't say that. I'm telling you. Why? Because I have law enforcement all around me. Now, if I'm feeling better, you know what I'm saying? But if I feel like I'm a little bit impaired, why do I need to do that? I don't need to be the one that's responding. I'll just trust God and trust our law enforcement and our security guys here, they will take care of things. I'm not where I need to be to take care of that. See? Does that make sense? Saul in his anger tried to kill David, murder him. What was David doing but serving God and the king, and doing quite a good job of it? But that wasn't enough. Saul was jealous. Too much heat. Too much heat. It's like John Wayne, you know, and they had Glenn Campbell playing, you know, on True Grit. And he shoots the turkey, you know, with this big gun, you know, his big rifle. And the little girl, you know, from Fort Smith or wherever it's from, you know. he's trying to impress her, and he's got this now a turkey that's been pulverized by this big rifle. And he leans over to the girl and he says, "Too much gun. Too much heat." See that? Too much heat. Some heat, good. Passion, zeal, good. Too much heat. I think you get the idea. Too much heat. He's jealous. Same idea here again. He tried, the king was blinded by reason and felt he had a right to anger. No, you don't. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The poison of anger was running through Saul's veins. He's mad and he's gone mad. And what happens? Here comes the flood. Can you control the flood? No, best thing you can do is get out of its way. Just get to high ground, get out of its way, because you're not going to stop the rain. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you pray, go to higher ground and pray and help others to do the same. Number five, anger is likened in the scripture to a fire-breathing dragon. So last time we talked about Godzilla, Clayton. Godzilla, a fire-breathing dragon. That doesn't sound good to me. Back in our verse, anger or wrath is cruel, Proverbs 27:4. Anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Now another form of the word cruel refers to the fierceness of the Leviathan of Scripture. The dinosaur of the deep, if you want to put it that way. The dinosaur that's under the water, that's bigger than all those who are above the water. That's why I throw out Godzilla, because you know he always comes up from the water. Go to Job. Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41. So it goes in here to show the fierceness of this creature according to God's holy word. And he was. And it gives a lot of illustrations about you'll try this and you'll try that and you'll try this and you'll try that, but none of them will be successful because he's too big and he's too bad. Big John, Big John, Big Bad John. Well, it's not Big John. It's Big Bad Leviathan. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? In other words, can you throw a hook in the water, Brother John, and fish him out of there? No, that ain't going to happen. Or his tongue with the cord, which thou lettest down. Somehow you can get it wrapped around his tongue. Well, tongues are sensitive. I can just get it around his tongue. But you're watching too many movies. Canst thou put an hook into his nose? If you got a hook in his nose, can you even get one in there? You can't even get a hook in his nose. Or bore his jaw through with a thorn. You figured out some thorn you could just go through his horn. Like if you can get him by the gills, nope. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he give you small talk? Will he say, come on, try again. It's okay. Try again. Throw another spear at me. Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? He'll make a covenant with nobody. He says, wilt thou take him for a servant forever? You're going to serve me. I'm going to control you. I'm the wizard and I'm going to control you. No, you won't. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? You have a pet dinosaur of the deep that he's so fierce, but you're going to play with him like you would your little, sweet, colorful a parrot. Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? I just want to, you know, impress the girls, you know, with my pet deep dinosaur. Shall the companions make a banquet of him? shall they part him among the merchants. So we can make a lot of money off here. We got to get him. Boy, there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of oil. See? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons? Oh. Or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. It's not going to work. He's too vicious. He's too protected by his armor. And you're not going to be successful. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? In other words, you just shake in your boots, your party's over. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Don't get on his bad side. It's going to be bad news, and your life is likely going to be over. Who then is able to stand before me? Now, some say this refers to a crocodile. No cigar. But my wife tells me not to say those kinds of things. Because men have caught crocodiles. Matter of fact, we had some family friends that they would catch crocodiles. They'd put chicken on the end of a rope on a hook, and that they would hook in the water and tie the other end to a sapling, a pine tree. Now, a sapling pine tree will bend over, you know, and it's like a fishing boat. It's like a fishing boat, but a big one. And you can catch the crocodiles. You can catch the, we had alligators back home. And you can catch the alligators and you can drag them up and cut the tail off. That's what you want to eat that. You could do that. This guy that this is talking about is something way beyond an alligator. Now, if you think alligators are just a pet that you want to just bring them home, I wouldn't suggest that either. Not at all. And we saw some in the Okefenokee Swamp. And I promise you, you do not want to bring them home as a pet. This creature is so fierce, none dare even try to catch him in any way, form, or fashion. They don't even want to see him. I don't want to see him. It's doom. It's doom. Nobody can control this great dragon of the sea. You read this chapter and there is no way that this is a crocodile or an alligator. Dr. Henry Morris, now his headquarters is there in downtown Dallas, and there's a lot of good things. He has a good Bible that is kind of like a creation defense Bible and gives you a lot of good information. I have one of them. He writes, the Leviathan was the greatest of marine reptiles and must have been able to expel some combustible gas, perhaps methane, which coming upon contact with oxygen could, of course, ignite in fire. That's fire. Now, other mention of this great dragon of the deep, as Isaiah 27:1, in that day the Lord with his soaring great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So can mankind tame him? Can he talk him down? Can he put a hook in his jaw? No, but God can destroy him. The Leviathan is great and strong as he is. He's not stronger than God. He's not strong as God. Psalm 104:25-26. So is this great and wide sea, wherein that are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. The Leviathan, of course, he'd be a great beast. He's big. He's bigger than big. He's bigger than the biggest whale. He's big. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. He goes wherever he wants. Nobody's going to get in his way. You're not going to stop him. You put a net out, that's chicken feed. He's going to go right through that net. No problem at all. Job 41:19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, fire. Burning lips. Sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke. Smoke billows out his nose. Fire out of his mouth. As out of a seething pot or cauldron, his breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength. Many times somebody, you know, whatever creatures, they're vulnerable in the neck. Not this one. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. In other words, it's sort of like the scales on a fish. He's going to be armored. He's armored all over. You can't penetrate that. Are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. And they don't go around with that one that the hero of the movie can pierce that one little spot, you know, with a big bad arrow they shoot off the top of a tower. Are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart, now get this, his heart is as firm as a stone. He's not just hard-hearted. He's physically got a hard heart. You're not going to shoot this heart with a 30-06 and just kill him. Bless God, I tell you what I'll do. I've got my 30-06. I've killed everything I've ever pointed that rifle at. You're a fool. You're a fool. If you're going out to kill this creature, you're a fool. Not enough good. Not enough good. His heart is as firm as a stone. Yea, as hard as a piece of nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. Even the great, the trained, the strong of the strong, they're afraid. By reason of breaking, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. In other words, you stick him, it's not going to stay in him. It's just going to fall out. No damage. The spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw. You hit him with something as hard as iron, it's like hitting him with a piece of hay. It'll absolutely do nothing against him. It says, he esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. Just rotten wood. You hit anything, it just breaks. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. In other words, we're going to get you, going to get you with this one. We got a special blade on this one. He laughs at that. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. Just what he's passed through, the waters that he's passed through. One would think the deep to be hoary, like the hoary head. It's all, the water's all stirred up. Looks like a big ship has just gone through there. What is that? It's the booger man. That's what it is. Upon earth there is none, there is not his like. In other words, there's no land dinosaur as big and bad and ferocious as this one in the water. Dun, 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 dun. Huh. No one like him. Who is made without fear? He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. In other words, we'll get him. I can do it. I can take him down. I can, man, I mean, I killed this, I killed that. I can take him down. No, you're going down. You're going down. It's sort of like, sort of similar to the bombardier. You've ever read about it, you know, or seen the science program, bombardier beetle. When he's provoked by an enemy, he will blast out of his bottom a potent gas mixture. Now get this, that which generates 212 degrees. Of defensive posturing. If you experience that, you're going to be heading the other way. It's like somebody says, oh, I'll kill a skunk with my bare hands. Well, if you do, don't come around me. Don't come around me. It'll make your head spin. It fires at people like a fire-breathing dragon and makes them jump back in fear. And then they retaliate in anger. An angry man is like a fierce, fire-breathing dragon. I'll tame him. He's got a lot of good qualities, preacher. I'll get him going my way. I'll reel him in. Sweetheart, don't bet on it. But you're going to end up with two or three kids and an unfaithful husband who, if he takes the inkling to do so, he'll beat you. He'll beat you. Because he's an angry individual. Like Herod was sent forth and slew all the babies and the small children. He's mad. He's mad. The story goes that a man got a new pet for the family, a dog, but he had some chickens out back. And he could not keep the dog away from the chickens, of course, but he would try very hard. Of course, an angry man. His fuse was shortened, and one day the dog killed the chicken. one chicken, and he grabbed a shotgun, and he ain't going to have this in my house. And he runs out there, and his kids are, "Daddy, Daddy, no, Daddy, Daddy, no, Daddy, Daddy, no. Dogs just doing what dogs do, Daddy, no, Daddy, no." And he shoots the dog right there in front of his kids. "I told you I would, and I did." Okay. Well, he kept the other chickens, but he lost his kids. Lost his kids. Boy, that's a bad trade. A bad trade. We need to learn how to restrain ourselves and put in the thermostat that is healthy, that keeps us regulated where we need to be, not too cold, not too hot. Because anger is real danger to our lives. "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." And again, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." That's why in Proverbs 22, verse 8, points out that if an angry individual, like a parent or grandparent, is spanking a child, it won't work as you think. It won't work as you think. "Well, they just made me..." It won't, the result of it will not be what you're after. It'll be something very different. Let me show that to you. Proverbs 22, verse 8. "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." Now, he's got a rod, and I know how to use it. Yeah, I'm sure you do, sir. I'm sure you do, ma'am. I'm sure you do. But it's not going to do what you are hoping that it will do with your child. The same word translated here, "fail," the rod of his anger shall fail, is also translated to other places as "destroy" or "consume." Now, some of you have even experienced that type of anger. Now, I'm not here to put anybody down. We're here to educate and bring you to a spiritual understanding. When you were spanked like that, did it bring you into your reconciliation with God and your family? Or did something tell you this is wrong? This is not healthy. Even while you were at the bad end of things. It destroys some things that God meant to be precious. Now, is discipline needed? Oh, you bet. You bet. It's needed, but it's needed in regulation. Regulation. Leviticus 26:44. "And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly." That's the word. If you do that, you're just going to destroy your kids. You're going to destroy your subordinates at your workplace. That, man, they need a firm hand. Yes, they need a firm hand, but they don't need to be destroyed. What good is that? Again, I told you about the teacher that I had years ago. Matter of fact, Terry Spencer, brother Rick knows him well. And he's one that taught me that lesson years ago. As a preacher, remember this, remember this. You can shear sheep many times. Now, you can't shear sheep every day. If you go to church and you as a preacher, you're just shearing people, shear, 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 shear. You're just cutting, nipping them, nipping, 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 nipping. You'll die by 1,000 cuts. No, you've got to be loved. You've got to have some salve. You have to have some tenderness. You have to be led beside the still waters. We have to encourage, right? There's a lot of things that go into raising up sheep. So you can shear many times, not every day, but not every week, but you can shear many times and get a lot of good productivity out of the wool. Skin him one time, you're done. One time, you're done. There's no more life after you skin the sheep. You're done with them. And so what happens, you get angry preachers. Bless God. Kill them all, God. Kill them all, God. Oh, extreme. He's an angry soul. He's not tempered. He's not in control. He's out of control. He's got too much heat, too big of guns. Too big, too much. So he'll bounce from one church to the next, to the next, to the next. demonstrating his zeal for God. No, what he's really demonstrating is anger against God. Because that's God's flock, you see. That flock doesn't belong to him, it belongs to God. You don't belong to me, you belong to God. I'm a steward of that process. That's it. And my goal is to see you nourished and taught and encouraged and loved so that you raise up and you are the army of God in this place and you do the work and you're zealous about it. But you understand the dangers of having too much heat in your life. That's not good. That's not good. You may grow in numbers, but watch out. You're going to implode. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. That's why you can't allow hotheads to serve as teachers or officers in your church. It's very dangerous if you do so. Very dangerous. You want to protect the church. You want to have people who can moderate their responses. Now, bless God, you don't want that in leadership. You don't want that in any kind of leadership, including your home. Bless God, I'm the king of my castle. Yeah, okay. It's funny. Okay, I get it. It's funny on television. It's not funny in real life. It's very destructive. Very destructive. So angry, spanking parents destroy and consume their own children. You say, well, no, I love my kids. I bet you do. Matter of fact, I would gamble that you do, at least most of the time. But how long does it take to consume the child? How long does a spanking take? That's not all day, right? It's not like you got them in a cage and you're just beating them every 30 minutes. No. But in this occasion, you lost your cool. You're not in control. And you create a flood. You destroy that young, tender soul. And you think, well, they'll live again. Maybe. You see how dangerous that is? Anger is a danger. And we need to be very well aware of it. And I guarantee you, we all have experienced it. And if you go back and you reflect upon this, you think, well, wait a minute, it's just righteous indignation. Now look at that next time, I'll show you. That doesn't have a good track record when it comes to humanity. Now I'm not talking about judgment. Somebody needs to be executed, a criminal, fine. But the mobs, hang him to the highest tree. Hang him. You mean without a fair trial? That's why the founding fathers of this nation didn't believe in a pure democracy. It's a mob. It's a mob. It's turning your governance over to Antifa. That's what that is. That's what's going to happen. Because the more moderate people are more pacifist. Just like the pacifist Muslims that say, we just love everybody and just want to just live and let live. And yeah, they're not going to stand up. World history teaches that. They're not going to stand up against the militants. The militants will roll right over the top of them. And then if they don't like it, they'll kill them too. That's what happens. It's out of control. And God doesn't teach us to be out of control, but to be in spirit control. Does that mean no heat? Did I say that? No. But we've got to have that thermostat in there. And that thermostat needs to be taught by the Scripture, encouraged by the Scripture, and moved according to the regs of God's specs for happy, healthy Christian living. Does that mean we put our foot down? Yes, it means we put our foot down. Does that mean we call a spade a spade? Yes. We call a spade a spade. But we don't get too heated. Too heated. I'll tell you what, bless God. Kill them all. Hang them all. Here you go. Deport them all. Well, that's getting a little close to home, isn't it? Watch it. Watch it. That's not a tempered response. Now, you say, do you ever feel that way? Of course I do. But I have to say something in here. Check. Because if I get over here and I start preaching that kind of stuff, we're going to have big problems. doesn't have the proper, another way, some of you business don't have the proper temperament for leadership. You might have that rogue individual in your church, but you don't want them to be your pastor. You don't want them to be a teacher. They're too hot-headed. They're too hot-headed. Now, can they be members and sit right there? Yeah, you sit right there. You sit right there, but you better keep a watchful eye on them, because they will bring a flood in your church. You have to love everybody, right? You love everybody. Try to help everybody. Give everybody a chance. But you better keep an eye on them. So these preachers come by, and that same preacher says, when are we looking out here to find a preacher for Roy City? He said, I want to bless God, but when I have visitation, I want everyone of my officers better be at visitation. Bless God. Every one of my teachers better be at visitation. And I told him, I said, I've never met a preacher, Brother John. Not one time in my entire life have I ever met a preacher who did not want to have more people out on soul winning and visitation. Never in my whole life. Last week we had 34. But many of those years, it was only me. And then it became me and on occasion another man, Francis Malgren. On occasion. Not at all, because he was an elder fellow, a great man, but he was always physically able to come. And then back to me, and maybe three or four, and back to me. And I said, but I highly doubt I would have ever had 34 if I'd have blown up at the one. Does that make sense? So all of those, that spirit has to be tempered. Would we like to have more? Yeah, sure. But if you're going to get it by pounding their flesh, you probably, if you do get the numbers, you won't get the right spirit. And a lot of churches, they have the numbers. They have the numbers. But you go in that place, man, the place is filled with angry people. It's filled with angry people. Because the man up here is an angry soul. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You probably have seen it in business or in churches. And it's manifest by this kill them all, God, kill them all. I can't wait. Burn in hell. Oh. Well, our preacher's on fire. Uh-huh. He certainly is, like the Leviathan. He's on fire. And everywhere he goes, he's going to bring destruction. And all the young fools out there, amen, praise God, waving their Bible, the King James Bible in there, they're likewise fools. And they're bringing destruction upon the work of God. I could call names and write you books. They're bringing destruction. Church, be very careful with anger. It's dangerous. Let's stand.